Question 23. Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? Luke 7:31-35, Matthew 11:16-19. And the Lord said, Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And what are they like? They're like unto children, sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another and saying, We've piped unto you, and you have not danced. We've mourned unto you, and you have not wept. Have children always claimed to be bored? I have trouble remembering being bored as a child, but many children today complain constantly that they are unstimulated if they find themselves idle for over 3 minutes. Perhaps it's a selective memory on my part. Maybe things have changed somewhat, but I suspect that we all become bored when we don't have what we want, or want what we have. Jesus used the example of little children to illustrate his point about the men of the generation he then occupied. It was as if they wanted what they did not have, and what they were given they did not want. They were given John the Baptist, and although in the estimation of Jesus he was the greatest prophet ever born, he was rejected as a lunatic. They were given the very Son of God, and they said that he was not what they expected. By their rejection, they said, He's not holy, he's not mighty, he's not sympathetic to our religion, he does not fulfill prophecies or our expectations. It's a pity, really, for he was that and much, much more. Jesus saw the men of that generation as impudent children selfishly demanding more than what was given to them. Their actions spoke volumes. Their words dripped with venom toward the Son of God. Their hearts calloused over with rebellion, were indifferent to the designs and the desires of God. Neither could their eyes see the gift of God who stood before them. As we complain about the degree to which our God has decided to reveal himself to us, or we cry and beg him to be more real, more available, or more willing to use his power on our behalf, we are acting as bored, spoiled children. Perhaps we are not perceiving, like the Pharisees, that it is we who, though we see, are not seeing. We who, though we hear, do not understand, and perhaps it is we who cannot see what is plainly shown to us. Pleasures, as well as the heartaches of this world, tend to create in us an evaluation of good and evil, right and wrong, sin and righteousness, and so forth. This evaluation system over the years creeps into everything we do and think about. It forms our policies and politics. This basis of good and evil becomes the foundation of teaching our children and learning from life. If we don't receive this foundation from Jesus Christ, the living Word of God within our souls, we risk the danger of making molds into which we expect even our God to fit. We create doctrines from our minds and experiences that we expect him to sanction. Lifestyles we predict will please him, repulse him, and condemn us. Worst of all, because of our warped and selfish views, we stand still in the streets while he plays music that to him is lively and attractive, compelling and gay, but to our insensitive ears is dull and lifeless. We heard it before. It's not our favorite tune, or for whatever reason, we care not to dance. For centuries, our God has given many prophecies about his sheep, his people, and their plight of sin, and their subsequent separation from him. He has voiced his displeasure with sin, and on several occasions, he named what grieves him the most. He has listed in Scripture the seven things he hates, things that are an abomination to him and that he despises. Most people cannot list these things. How many can you name? Do you know what grieves the God you claim to love and serve? Can you name the things that he hates? Has it become a part of your nature to hate what God hates? How can you love as he loves if you do not know what he hates and why? His nature is foreign to most, and little or no effort is made to discover his temperament. The Father weeps over Israel. Do you weep with him? Yehovah cries out in anguish for the lost of his people who will not repent and turn to him. Do you? He stands in fiery displeasure of those who lie in his name and speak falsely for him and misrepresent the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you investigate the validity and origin of what is taught you as doctrine? He weeps and laments, and his church does not mourn. Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? They're likened to children. It looks as though not much has changed from the men of that generation to the men of this one. We need, as they did, to see the gap between our desires and his, between our evaluation criteria and his, between our tastes and his. The gap is large, but it is not so large that it cannot be spanned. There are many changes to be made in our thinking and many pauses to be inserted into our speech, many of his concerns added to our list, and many of ours to be dropped. What will you do if you find that God cares not a whit about recycling? What will you do if his concern is for those in your life who you have heretofore avoided? What will you do if your life in no way resembles the life that he has designed for you? Are you willing to acquire his taste in social order, charity, and government? Are you willing to make changes in your doctrines, faith, and lifestyle? Are you willing to dance to his music? The troubles and trials of life create sorrow in us. Relief from the sorrow or oppression that presently possesses us creates in us a false understanding of good and evil. What releases us from oppression is not necessarily good, and what eliminates or hinders comfort is not necessarily bad. Any reader of the Scriptures can tell story after story exemplifying deliverance made possible through personal tragedy. Nations were sold into slavery because someone sought their own good. We must get our understanding of good and bad from the Lord and from the Scriptures. The Scriptures were given for that very reason, to learn the expectations, disposition, and personality of our God. Jesus begged, "Learn of me." Yehovah lamented, "I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. And they bend their tongues like a bow for lies, but they're not valiant for truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me." When we tune into our own understanding of tragedy, we can be standing amidst worldwide wreck and ruin and not see beyond our own pain. When we hurt, our compassion is cut short, our eyes become nearsighted, and our ears are dull to what is beyond our own grief. We stand in the streets as a funeral dirge is played by none other than Yehovah himself, and we stand silent. No mourning, no care, no tenderness for what does not concern our immediate need. He mourns unto us, and we do not lament. The men of our generation are emotionally retarded, psychologically damaged, sinfully advanced, A frightening combination indeed. The Church of Jesus Christ reflects this as well. We have buildings full of people who only compare themselves to others worse than they, and therefore are pleased with the results. Their thinking is so far from God's thinking, they cannot hear the music, much less dance to it. They cannot dance to music they do not like, nor can they mourn to lamentations that only speak sorrowfully of things about which they feel no grief. Have we become spoiled children, who only want what they do not have, and only have what they do not want? We have become so bored with the things that enthuse Jehovah that we sit still and refuse to dance, waiting with crossed legs and crossed arms until we hear our favorite tune. Does the news from across town that breaks his heart fall upon our ears as unimportant and mundane? Seek fresh revelation from the Father about his concerns, his loves. Search the Scriptures to discover the personality and heart of the Creator. For only his music is worthy of your dancing, and it is to his sorrowful lamentation you should mourn. Determine to reject what he hates and embrace what he loves. For if you continue to expect the God of the whole earth to conform to your thinking, instead of pursuing your conformity to his, you'll be no closer to sympathy with the concerns of God than the ones to whom Jesus asked, "Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation?" They're likened to children sitting in the marketplace.